13 and verse 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. The word apprehended means to have obtained, to have reached the goal. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Everybody say forgetting. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I want to preach tonight about some things to remember and some things to forget. Some things to remember and some things to forget. And the Lord bless you. You may be seated. Paul wrote the letter to the Philippian church from a jail cell in Rome. He was a prisoner there. Paul is looking back through life. He was, something over 60 years old now. He had been serving the Lord for more than 30 years. And he's looking through that prism of time, gazing back through the years. And he makes some observations and some unforgettable statements. The Apostle Paul was a man of great passion. He was a man that sold himself totally and completely to whatever cause he believed in. When Paul or Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee, he said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He didn't do anything half-hearted. When he was a Pharisee, he was the best Pharisee that he could possibly be. He gave himself. He dedicated himself totally to Phariseeism. And he did his very best to be the most righteous man, the most self-righteous man, as it were, on the face of the planet. Paul made up his mind, if I'm going to be a Pharisee, I'm going to be the best Pharisee that I can possibly be. And when Paul became a Christian, it wasn't any halfway measure with him. When he sold out to Jesus Christ, he sold out everything and he gave himself 24 hours of every day, 365 days of every year. He gave everything that he was. He gave everything that he could possibly be to being a Christian for Jesus Christ. He was a man that knew how. He knew no other way than to give everything that he had. Paul said, I pursued God when I was a Pharisee. I didn't know God at that time. Not really. I had an idea and everything I knew about Him, that's what I went after. But I didn't really know Him until that road on Damascus when I was stricken down and saw the light and heard the voice. He said, and from that time, he said, I have pursued Him. But he said, I have not obtained. I'm not there yet. I'm still pressing. I'm still moving forward. Hear me tonight. There's no place to stop in the Christian life. Somebody said Christians are born on an incline. If you're not climbing up, you're sliding back. It's always pushing forward. It's always reaching forth. There's no place to stop. So the Apostle Paul is writing and he's saying, there's some things you got to forget. One thing that every Christian needs is a good forgetter. And if there's not such a word, I just made one. Every Christian needs a good forgetter. The past can be a hang-up for some people. Now, I know how this works. I'm a human being. Somebody says something to you, and it gets in your head, and you replay that over and over again. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hello? Amen. Says somebody says something, and it controls your life. You get up thinking about it. You wrestle all night thinking about it. They said, I wish I would have said, when I see them I'm going to say, and it just takes over your entire being. It steals your joy. It steals your strength. It steals your peace. It steals what you should be doing for God. It causes you to fall into a place where you're useless for the kingdom. You know what you need? You need a good forgetter. It doesn't matter what they said. You got to just tell yourself, forget about it. It does not matter. I'm not going to let this hang me up. I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm not going to fill my mind with this. I'm not going to fill my life with this. I'm just going to let it go. You got to have a good forgetter. Brother Grissom, you don't know what they said. What difference does it make? Do you suppose anybody ever said anything to Jesus that was contrary? Do you suppose anybody ever insulted Him? Do you suppose anybody ever said anything that could have hurt His feelings? Did He let it stop Him? No! He just let it roll off of His back like water off the back of a duck. He said, it doesn't matter. I got a good forgetter. I got a good forgetter. Well, you know what they did to me? It doesn't matter. Forget about it. Move on. Somebody said, I don't get mad. I get even. I feel sorry for you. Forget about it. Forget about it. It doesn't matter. We've got to forget some things. The apostle, or rather the king Saul, he got hung up. He heard a song one day. And that song changed his life forever. People were singing a song and they said, Saul has killed his thousands. He loved the first verse. And then came the second verse. And David has slain tens of thousands. Boy, that got a hold of him. It put a bitterness in him. It put a jealousy in him. It put a hatred in him. And he dedicated literally the rest of his life to destroying David. All because of a silly little song. And I know people that have lived their lives in wastefulness just because somebody said something or somebody did something. And it threw them all off track. You got to have a good forgetter. Just let it go. Is that what Jesus taught us? I believe it was. He said, when you stand praying, He said, forgive. Don't you even go there. You just go ahead and forgive. Don't come to me and dump a bunch of garbage on me. He said, just go ahead and forgive. Just go ahead and get rid of it. Just go ahead and throw it off. Brother Grissom, that's easier said than done. Well, it's not so difficult when you think about what you've been forgiven. It's not so difficult when you understand how far God has brought you. It's not so difficult when you understand how much you have been forgiven. Just let it go. Forget it. You've got to have a good forgetter. The Apostle Paul forgot some stuff. He talks about it here in this chapter in verse number 4. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, that's a lot of credentials. He said, I was the cream of the Jewish crop. I was at the very top. I was headed for higher ground. I had the heights in my sight, and I was quickly rising. My tide had come in, and I was riding high. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In other words, he said, all that stuff, all those ambitions, all of those dreams, all of those things that were propelling me into a future that God had not prepared. He said, I just forgot all of that. Amen. I appreciate people that when God saves them, they don't glory in their past. Amen. I've met some folks, you would not have known that they were somebody as far as the world was concerned, because they never talked about it. You don't know what heights they had achieved and what great accomplishments and what adulation they had received, because they never talked about it. They just said, that was the old me. That's not me anymore. I'm forgetting about that. I'm forgetting all about that. I had a friend that he was, I don't even know all the names he played with. He played with some of the biggest names in country music. He traveled all over the country, all over the world, playing in their bands and singing and he is in the big time. Oh, he was living the life. But he had a sister that stumbled into a church in Houston, Texas, and found a Pentecostal altar, repented of her sins. God gave her the Holy Ghost. She was baptized in Jesus' name, and she started praying for Stan. Stan was somewhere up in Canada in some big honky-tonk with some big name. And he was up there playing his instrument. And all of a sudden, he said his eyes were open and he saw clearly what was ahead of him. He saw the drunkenness and he saw the revelry and he saw the jealousy and he saw the adultery and he saw all of that. He put his instrument up. He picked it up and walked off of the stage. He went down and got on an airplane. He flew to Houston, Texas. He went to the church that his sister was attending. He attended his first Pentecostal service. He said, I want that Holy Ghost. He repented. God gave it to him. He was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. He was ready because God opened his eyes. He didn't mind. He turned all of that over. He said, I'm forgetting about all that stuff. I'm forgetting about all that stuff. Amen. You know what? I've known a few people like that. I mean, they were in the big time. They had money, but you know how much they had when I saw them? No more than I did. When you got it coming in like that, it's going out like that. They have no respect for that. They don't understand the value of what it could do and what good it could accomplish. Doesn't mean anything. And you know what? It still shouldn't. Hallelujah. The Bible said, if you have shelter and raiment, food, said be content. Be content. Anybody got a place to stay tonight? Anybody got any food? Anybody got clothes on? You all do, thank God. Be content. Be happy. That's all you need. That's all you need. Amen. Just be happy with that. Praise God. My daughter would not agree, but happiness is not a new pair of shoes. Happiness is being content with the ones you got. Well, that didn't cost anything. I just threw that in. Hey, but we need a good forgetter. Amen. The Apostle Paul, he went on to say, you see, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now Paul's been serving God for 30 years, I mean all out. And this is what he says. He said, that I might know Him. What? That I might know Him. Paul, you've known Him for 30 years. I know, but I really want to know Him. The word know here, it comes from the word gnosis. It means intimate knowledge. It's not just knowledge about something, but it's to be intimate with that object. It's to know everything you can possibly know about it. It's to become one with that. He said, oh, I don't just want to know about Him. I want to know Him. I know a lot, but I want to know more. Amen. I really want to know Him. He said, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's, you know, when you get the Holy Ghost, you know what that is? That's resurrection power. Woo! Amen. The Bible said that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. But He has quickened us. He has made us alive. How did He do that? He did that with the Holy Ghost. He gave you resurrection power when He gave you the Holy Ghost. And if the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, it's going to quicken our body in the rapture of the church, and it's going to take us out of here. Amen. That's the resurrection power that Paul's talking about. He said, I really want to know Him. Oh, I want to know His resurrection. I want to know that power that transforms, that power that makes alive, that power that can deliver a drug addict or an alcoholic. Amen. That can deliver people out of their sins, deliver people from self-righteousness. You talk about a miracle. Oh, we talk about God delivering alcoholics and prostitutes and bad people. But you know what? If God can deliver a good person, He's really done something. If God can deliver somebody that thinks they're already all right just like they are, I don't need you, I don't need God, I don't need anybody, I'm good just like I am. That was Paul. Paul was now an alcoholic. He was a good man. As far as his religion was concerned, he was a godly man. He certainly was a religious fanatic. But he wasn't good enough. He didn't have God's goodness. So he said, I'm going to forget all that. I'm going to forget all that. Amen. I'm going to forget all the titles that I had. I'm going to forget all the offices that I used to hold. I'm going to forget about the meetings that I used to preach and the places that I used to go and the friends that I used to have in high places. I'm going to forget about all the promises, the political scheming and all of that to arrive. I'm going to forget about all of that. It doesn't mean a thing to me now. That was my old life. He said, all that I want to know now is Him. The power of His resurrection. He said, I want to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowship of His sufferings. Amen. You know when you know Jesus best? When you're suffering. You know when you're most like Jesus Christ? Not just when you're suffering, but when you're suffering for doing the right thing. Shake your head like this right here. If you suffer because you did something wrong, that's just consequences. But if you suffer because you're doing the right thing, people don't like you because of who you are in Jesus Christ. People don't like you because you're a Christian. People make fun of you because you're a Christian. People persecute you because you're a Christian. People throw you in prison because you're a Christian. People beat you and with stripes because you're a Christian. That's the fellowship of the suffering. And that's when you really get close to Him. Most of us, when we suffer, we complain and we lose our blessing. We want the sympathy of people instead of the fellowship of the Lord. We want people to sympathize and say things about us and feel sorry for us. And that's our reward. Rather than to have the joy of the Lord and say, I'm just like you, Lord. They didn't like you. They don't like me. I'm suffering. I'm in prison just like you were. I'm beaten just like you were. Amen. What did the Scripture say? It said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Let me tell you what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to one thing. The name of Jesus Christ. It's not going to matter what religion you are. And as long as it's not the name, you're going to be accepted. I read something the other day that was a little scary. It said that one reason that a conservative person should not be elected to office of the president is because of freedom of religion. In other words, they're saying if the conservative Christian is elected, there'll be no freedom of religion. Because they'll try to govern as a Christian. And they govern as a Christian, they won't honor the beliefs of the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Hindus and all the rest of them. Amen. And you know what? We don't need to persecute anybody because of their faith. You're not going to win people by making fun of their religion. You're not going to win anybody by hating them because of who they serve. Shake your head like this right here. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you got to agree with them. But if you're a Christian, you got to love them. I said if you're a Christian, you got to love them. Praise the Lord. Amen. You got to show them what's right. You know how you do that? By living the Christian life in front of them. Let them see Christ in you. I don't know who to accredit it to. I read it somewhere. It said, people do not care what you believe until they believe that you care. They've got to care first. They've got to feel that. They have to feel your love. They have to feel the compassion. Amen. They have to see the difference that Christ has made in your life. And then you can tell them what you believe. Amen. Well, we need a good forgetter. Praise God. You got to forget the good things and how good you were. Amen. And then you got to forget how bad you were. Did you know that goodness can hang some people up, how good they were, and how bad people were can hang them up. Paul struggled with some of that, I think. He had a hard time forgetting how he persecuted the church. He had a hard time forgetting that. He had a hard time forgetting faces of men and women, young people and children that he had put in prison. He had a hard time forgetting that. He had a hard time forgetting people that he was responsible for their death simply because they served Jesus Christ. He couldn't forget that. It's hard to forget. There are some things that we have to forget that are bad in our life. Don't only forget your accomplishments and how good you were, but you got to forget about how bad you were. You know what? You cannot do anything about the past. You can't undo any of that. That's right. You cannot undo anything that you said, and you cannot undo anything that you did. You can apologize for it. You can ask people to forgive you for it. But that's all that you can do about the past. The only other thing you can do is just forget it. Don't dwell on it. Move forward. Praise God. Move away from it. And hear me, the further you get down the road, the further away that gets from you. Until you can remember all of that, but there's no pain associated with it anymore. It's merely like a scar. You look at it and you say, oh yeah, I remember where I got that. But there's no pain. Amen. So you got to forget some things. If anybody needed to forget some things and tried so hard to forget some things, it was Joseph. Joseph was just a young man, perhaps 17 years old. Anybody here 17 years old tonight? Alrighty. Can you imagine Hannah being separated from your family at 17 years old? Sold into slavery. Wake up in somebody's house and you're a servant there. And you're away from mom and dad. You're in a totally different country. A different language. Everything is strange to you. You have nothing. Absolutely nothing. You're a slave. 17 years old. And he had some dreams. Remember Joseph's dreams? Amen. What happened to his dreams? Well, God gave them. From the time he was 17 years old until the time he was about 30 years old. That was a long time. A long time, that's what, about 13 years? That he was in a forgotten place. Not only was he a slave, that wasn't bad enough. He was falsely accused for doing the right thing and thrown into prison. God, why is all this happening to me? All I did was have a dream. All I did was talk about my dream. Here he is. Well, you know what God did? Something only God could do. God took Joseph out of prison, And in just a few hours' time, he was riding around in the king's chariot. He traded his prison clothes for kingly robes. He had this golden chain hanging around his neck. Amen. And he's riding in this beautiful chariot behind this beautiful horse. And people are bowing down to him. Amen. Calling him by his Egyptian name. Whoop! You talk about a change. That's a promotion. Yes, it was. And so he got his plan together and he started working things out and he started getting busy doing what was at hand. And he was building storage facilities and putting all the extra grain in there because he knew that in 7 years they were going to start a famine and a drought that would last for 7 years. And so he's storing everything up, getting ready. He's organizing. He's a busy man. God blesses him. He and his wife have a boy. And he calls him Manasseh. You know what Manasseh means? It means causing to forget. How would you like to have a name and somebody called you forgetful? Well, that would fit some of us. Amen. So his first little boy, he called him, hey, forgetful. But Joseph was such a positive fella, it was not a negative thing. He said, God has caused me to forget all of my toil. He calls me to forget about Potiphar's house. He calls me to forget about the prison. He calls me to forget about all my troubles and all of my difficulties. God has caused me to forget all that stuff. But it went a little too far. He said, and God has caused me to forget my father's house. But that wasn't true. Some things are just too painful to dwell on. Even though he forgot about all the bad stuff, it hurt too much to think about home. It hurt too much to remember his father and his home and all of those things that he thought he'd never see again. But he forgot too soon. Because God was already working. Hallelujah. Hey, you forget about your toils. And you forget about your trouble. And forget about your problems. But don't ever forget your father. And don't ever forget your father's house. Should have drank that. Amen. Amen. He said, don't forget your father's house. There are some things you forget, but don't you forget your father. And don't you forget your father's house. Don't forget the good things. Don't forget his blessings. Don't forget his love. Don't forget his mercy. Don't forget his peace. Don't forget the good things about the Father's house. And then he had another boy by the name of Ephraim. And he said, I'm going to call him fruitful. For the Lord has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Right in the middle of trouble. Here I was in prison. And God caused me to be fruitful. My, 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 my. He said, I'm not ever going to forget that. Don't forget that wherever you are and whatever you're going through, God is with you. You're not alone. And even in a barren place, even in a prison cell, even in slavery in somebody's house, God can cause you to be fruitful. Hallelujah. I got 32 years old. I had appendicitis. Now, kids are supposed to have that. You're not supposed to have appendicitis when you're 32 years old. But I did. And I had to go to the doctor and have an appendectomy. I was in the hospital wondering, my Lord, what in the world am I doing here? I was laying there not feeling sorry for myself, just thankful to be alive. Amen. I'm glad they could take that thing out because it was hurting for certain. So I'm laying there and there's a guy beside me and he was quite a fella. And he had some visitors. And they were quite people. I mean, they're just, different people. Very different. Amen. They loved to party. It was very obvious. They were getting ready to party there till somebody came in and helped them, reminded them where they were. Amen. So I'm taking all this in. And he's laying over there and he's got one leg raised up in traction in a cast, and his arms in a cast, and he's all casted, laying there looking real uncomfortable. And after people left, you know, it's visiting hours are over, party time's over, night setting in, he says, I introduced myself, and he said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a preacher. He said, oh. He apologized for some words that were said. And you know, for the next several hours, we had a real serious talk about his soul. And he opened up. We had some prayer. And we really got some business done for the next little bit. And I've looked back at that and thought, God, why did I have appendicitis when I was 32 years old? You know what I think? I think there was a man that needed somebody to tell him about Jesus Christ. And he was too busy, and so the Lord slowed him down. Now, I don't know, I never saw him again. I don't know what happened to him after that. But I know one thing. That it was worth it. It was worth it. In the land of affliction, to have some fruit. Only God knows, but someday I may see Him on a golden street, wearing a white robe and a golden crown. Amen. I might get to see that. I don't know. Even if I do, it's going to be fruit from the land of affliction. Praise the Lord. There's a brother. This was so interesting. I didn't know him. I never met him. But the last time I went to Columbia at a conference, there was a man that got up and preached, and he had shackles on his feet. He was from the prison. And his guard was there. You know who he was? He was a pastor in the prison. And he was telling us about how God was working. He said, oh, he was so excited. He said, I've got 150 people in my church full of the Holy Ghost in prison. He said, I don't want to get out of there. He said, they can't go anywhere. Amen. They can't run off. He loved preaching to them. Amen. He said, and they gave me a part of the prison as my church. And he was so excited about what God was doing. And you know what God did in that service? He filled the guard with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. That's what you call fruit in the land of your affliction. Amen. He was not wasting His time. He found the Lord in prison and He was fruitful there. Whatever you go through, whatever your situation, forget about the toil, but don't forget about the Father's house, and go ahead and be fruitful in the land of your affliction. Amen. Praise. You know, I've known people that you could go visit them in the hospital to encourage them, and they would encourage you. You went there to talk to them and lift their spirits, but instead they were so full of the Holy Ghost and so full of Holy Ghost power, they would encourage you. You went there to pray for them, but instead they would pray for you. That's what you call fruitful in the land of affliction. They didn't let sickness get them down. They prayed through that. And they stayed victorious, though bedridden. Victorious unto death. Even I'm saying that there's some things you need to forget. But there's some things you need to remember. Hallelujah. Paul said, I need to forget some stuff. Those things that are behind. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, he said, I'm reaching forth. I'm not looking back, but I'm looking forward. I'm not reaching back, but I'm reaching forward. Amen. And as long as you're reaching forward, even if you fall in the right direction. It's a whole lot better to fall forward in Christ than to fall backward away from Christ. It's better to fall into Christ than it is out of Christ. It's better to fall in the church than out of the church. What difference does it make? It makes it a difference that you're reaching and you're facing and you're pursuing. No, you're not perfect yet. No, you have not obtained everything yet. No, you have not apprehended yet. But you're going the right direction. And that makes all the difference. He said, not only am I reaching forth unto those things which are before, he said, but I'm pressing. Everybody say pressing. I'm pressing. And that's a term that comes from athletics. And anybody that's ever run in a race knows what that means. It means he had his chest out. He was reaching for the tape. His eyes were fixed. His mind was set and settled. He had one thing on his mind, and that was finishing the race. Amen. You get somebody that's got that kind of a mind and their mind is so made up and all they can see is victory and all they can see is the finish line and all they can see is winning the race. They're going to make it, friend. You don't have to worry about those people. The ones you have to worry about is those that can't make up their mind. They're looking forward. They're looking to the side. Well, what's he doing? What's she doing over there? Oh, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can get there, Brother Neil. You better turn your eyes around. You need to press forward. Don't you worry about what he's doing over there. Don't you worry about what's going on over there. Don't you worry about what's back there. You just keep your eyes straight forward. Keep your eyes on the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. And you keep pressing toward that mark. Amen. If you'll do that, there's not a demon in hell that can hinder you. There's not a human being sitting on a pew that can hinder you. Amen. There's not a person anywhere that can hinder you because your mind is made up. Amen. Do you ever see a horse or a mule with blinders on? You know why they put those on there? So he can't see what's going on beside him. All you need to see is what's ahead. Some of us need to put on some blinders tonight. Amen. Brother Neil, some of us are ADD. We get too easy distracted. We need to put some blinders on so all we can see is what's right ahead. Amen. We don't see what's going on there or back there. All that matters is what's going on right up there. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. I read one time about a man that he was a musician. He played a fabulous concert. And when he finished, he stood there with his violin in his hand. And people stood to their feet all over that vast auditorium. And applause filled that place. And he would bow. But as he would bow, he'd keep his eyes on one person. Standing way up in the balcony above the people was his teacher. The one that had taught him the things that he knew. And he was watching him. And while the crowd was applauding, that was a wonderful thing. Great appreciation. But it wasn't until that man stood and began to clap his hands that he had what he wanted. All of this down here doesn't matter. Keep your eyes on the conductor up there. The one that saved you. The one that keeps you. The one that teaches you. Your Savior and your Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. It doesn't matter what they say down here. What really matters is what's going on right up there. And when you hear that one there say, "Well done," then all of this down here does not matter. And there's some things you need to forget. There's some things you need to remember. We are in a race and we're reaching forth. Let's stand together. Reaching forth. Don't forget your Redeemer. And don't forget your redemption. And don't forget, He called it the high calling. Not just the calling, it's a high calling. What makes a high calling? Well, it's who called you. You know, the world is about what's really kind of what's easy. Amen. Just, what is it they say? They say if it feels good, do it. Easy. Easy. Don't make yourself stretch. Don't work too hard. I worked one time at a place. I worked with a guy. He said the day is National Goof-Off Day. I never heard of National Goof-Off Day. I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, we hide today and we don't get anything done." You know what that is? That's stealing. That's what that is. If somebody's paying you a wage to get some work done and you're not working, that's stealing. I don't like National Goof-Off Day. He worked harder at hiding than I did working. Praise the Lord. Amen. And hey, there's no National Goof-Off Day in the kingdom of God. Amen. We've got a high calling. A high calling. It's God calls you out of the pit. And God calls you upward. Amen. And it's an upward calling. It's a high road. It's a highway. The holiness of the Lord. God has called us today with a high calling. Let's don't forget that. Let's always remember your calling. Paul did. He never forgot. He never, ever forgot that journey on the road to Damascus when he hit the ground and he hit the dirt and all he could see was this glorious light, blinded by the light. And he heard this voice calling his name, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus." Never forgot that. Never forgot that. My calling was not quite that dramatic, but I never forgot it. To this day, it's been 44 years ago, I suppose, but I've never forgotten I was a 15-year-old boy when the Holy Ghost reached out and got a hold of my heart. And He drew me to an altar of repentance. And I've never, ever forgotten that. 15 years old, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I never got over it. And I never want to. I like it. How about you? Can anybody remember when the Lord reached you tonight? And God reached down to where you were? Lifted you up? Got you out of all that junk? Put His peace, His love, His righteousness in your soul? That's something you don't ever want to forget. Always remember. Always remember. Always remember. There's a high calling tonight. Would you dedicate yourself to that? There's an altar here that would be good to respond to. Just to come and lift up your hands and your heart to the Lord here today in your voice. Send Jesus, help me to forget my troubles. Help me to forget things that were said, things that were done. Even if they were unjust, they were unkind. But I'm not going to let that hinder me. I'm going to not let that stop me. It's too important that I press on. I can't let those things stop me. The things I used to be, the things I used to do, the things I used to say. I can't let that hinder me. The accomplishments of my life, perhaps some things that I had to give up in order to serve You. I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm going to forget about that. I'm going to leave that behind. And I'm going to set my face like a proverbial flint. I'm going to set my heart. I'm going to fix my faith steadfastly in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to pick up my...